Earlier this week, God began to stir something in me, and he began to show me some parallels on some things. And I thought, wow, God, that's pretty cool, actually. I'd never seen it before. And so today, we're gonna look at these parallels of some things in the Bible about us. And when I say about us, they're things to help us walk a better life, live a better life. You know, so many people today, we have got the latest craze of the month in the church. Whoever's got the greatest book out that's selling at the top of the charts, the church sucks them up and every preacher in the world starts preaching it without a revelation of it. That's my problem. This person got a revelation, but when the preacher starts preaching it without revelation, he's a business professor teaching about business who has never owned a business. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because anybody who's ever owned a business knows it doesn't work the way they teach you in school. Okay, you can keep records, you can keep all that, and that's fine and dandy, but business has a lot of different aspects to it. Today, all it takes is one person getting on Yelp and messing up your business. You could have a bad experience with somebody, and all they got to do is get on Angie's List and flag you. And nobody will ever do business with you because that one person, and they don't want the facts. They just want to know you had a bad experience. You buy something off of eBay. You got the guy that's got 9,099 positive hits, but he's got that one negative because the one person thought they deserved more than what they paid for. And so today we're living in a world where we're just jumping on the latest craze. Without any revelation, without any experience. You know, we got people trying to teach faith that aren't living by faith. They live by fear. They make you feel bad. They make you feel guilty. They make you filled with fear. And that's not what God ever wanted. I've been around the church for quite a few years now, as a pastor for 15 of them. And I hate to say, but I still see it. People teaching fear and calling it faith. And today I'm going to show you some things. We're going to talk actually more about messages as a whole versus just, you know, fear, okay? So if we will open our Bibles this morning, go to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 1, go to verse 12. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of thieves." Now this was after he has gone into the city. He's already experienced the triumphal entry when they were all worshiping him and saying, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel," and all that stuff. In a few days, they would be shouting, "Crucify him." He went in, he made a whip, folks. You got to stop and think what people were thinking. Did they not pay attention to what Jesus was doing? He picks up some cords. I don't know, I'd say leather straps. They used leather straps for a lot. And he starts braiding them and twisting them. But he's making a whip on the fly. And he's walking towards the temple. You think people would have got the hint, because guess what? This is the second time he'd done this. This isn't the first time. We read in our Bible, just because we see it a couple times, we think, oh, hey, you know, this is just a reaccount of it. No. He did this twice. Let's read the... Jump over to John chapter 2. In John chapter 2, we read the first account that Jesus had. And I want you to pay attention. This first account took place right after he turned water into wine, which many scholars believe marked the beginning of Jesus' ministry. So he's walking along. Now this time they have no idea what he's doing. The second time you'd think the disciples would run ahead and say, hey, y'all might want to clear the area. We're not for certain. He's being a little different today. He's talking about death and all this other stuff, and he's coming this way with a whip. But they didn't. But this time nobody knew what he was doing. Verse 13 says, now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves and the money changers doing business. When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overturned the tables. And he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise. Later he'd say a den of thieves. Then his disciples remembered what it was written, zeal for your house has eaten me up. So the Jews answered and said to him, what sign do you show us since you do these things? Jesus said to them, destroy this temple and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now you got to understand what he said to them right then and there had nothing to do with the blocks, the pillars, the columns, the building that they were looking at. He was speaking prophetically a few short years later when he said, you destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. It took him 46 years to build that temple, which would have been about 20 BC when they started it. So it puts it roughly at 26 AD. But he walks in. You got to imagine what this is, the temple of God. There's only one on the planet. This is the temple. And you know what they've turned it into? Stockyards. The outer court is now full with ox and sheep and doves. So you can imagine what it smells like. This is supposed to be someplace holy. And it's been turned into a common place. The word holy means set apart. Contrary to the country song that, if you listen to it, really is stupid because their acronym is High on Loving You, but you are high on loving you, if you understand their acronym. It's a dumb song. But the word holy means set apart, not common. And they've turned the holiest place on the earth into a common marketplace. Not only that, they're cheating the people. They're telling them, this dove is worth more than the dove that you passed on the street. And you know why they did it? Because people are gullible. They don't have a relationship with God themselves to know there's no difference between this guy's dove and this. Because he probably owns both tables. But he can't get the price down there because you know what? We like convenience, don't we? We love convenience. That's why we'll stop at a convenience store and we'll pay twice the price for a gallon of milk as opposed to stopping at the supermarket where we normally get it. But this is a convenience store. That's why you pay the higher price. Well, it's a convenience having the sacrifices right there. They didn't have to carry the dove. They probably just stuck finger or its little legs between their fingers and walked down the road with it. They didn't have to lead any sheep down the highway or ox. They didn't have to do any of that. It was already there. All they had to do was pay it, and one of the priests would have just taken it and sacrificed it. That's what they were really getting into. But they were paying a premium on it. And people would come from different regions, and they'd have different money. And these exchangers were charging exuberant rates to do this. And Jesus walked in and said, you're robbing people. And in my name. See, a lot of times today, we don't realize the parallels. Jesus made it right there in the very first one. He's standing in the temple of God, but he says, if you destroy this temple, I will raise it up. I just read this to you out of 1 Corinthians 6. Go ahead and bring that one up. First Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 6. And, oh, you know what? I didn't give that to her. She doesn't have it. Verse 9. Sorry about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, it says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You are the temple." When Jesus was standing in the temple, he said, "I am the temple." So what we were doing, what we're failing to realize is he is type and shadowing. See, the Bible really is full of this, and you can do about anything, unfortunately, and I've seen people try it, especially when we get to the last days. We get all kinds of teachings on type and shadowing. But this one really is, I just backed it up with the word. Jesus' own word said, "I'm a temple." And then later Paul would tell the Corinthians, "Don't you know you're a temple? You are the temple of the Holy Spirit." So what does that tell us? That tells us that the only place we should be worried about is right here. What's going on? Now, I will tell you, in here, we will not, we got our little library back here and we got breath mints. Not a dime. We do not overcharge. As a matter of fact, if you do the math, you will figure they're cheaper here than they are at the store. Just because we buy them in bulk. But we send every dime to charities to help others. We don't profit one bit. I will not sell the CDs. They're free. Actually, just go download it. We're in the modern age, right? Put it on your MP3 player or whatever you've got. You can download it on your phone. If you got a smartphone, you don't even have to do that. You just hit boom and you can listen to the message. It's a great world. Get you a Bluetooth speaker. Connect them. They're great. But we are in such a time now where I was actually in a church, and in the back along the whole wall, a sanctuary three times the size of this one, the one whole wall was dedicated to selling stuff. Books, tape series by the preacher who preaches there every Sunday. And over here was an entire line of jewelry made up by the pastor's wife. That, to be honest with you, I went over and looked at, I might go. And I was like, "Dear Lord, I remember my dad making stuff like this in the 70s when he was hiring a kite." So that was the whole backside of the sanctuary. The Holy of Holies, if we're going to look at it in the temple. And I can't tell you how bad that turned me off. It made me sick to see it, because I'm like, seriously, that's not gold. That's not silver. It's fishing line. I got 10 rolls of it at home. Get me some beads from the craft store and I'm in business. Matter of fact, I got some fishing lures that would probably make some pretty nice earrings. So you see, when we turn the physical building into a marketplace. We have coffee over here, folks. We've never charged, but if you want to leave some money in the thing, it goes to our charity, whether it goes to Heartbeat or it's going to Faith Mission or something like that. We don't put the money in. We do not worry about that. That's not what it's about. We don't sell the coffee, but I'm going to just tell you right now, I'm not going to open a big old coffee bar where you can order whatever you can get at Starbucks. I think Starbucks is overrated and nasty. That's my opinion. You go to order a black cup of coffee, you can stand on it. That's not coffee. That's tar. And it's $5. I can buy a lot of coffee grounds for that. But anyhow, you like it? More power to you. I'm just saying, took me long enough to drink coffee. I can't cross that line. I'm kind of like the chameleon on Bugs Bunny. Remember, he's jumping through all the color scopes and he jumps up there to plaid. He says, "I just can't do it." I can't do that. I can't justify it to me. But that is the big push today. Everybody wants a coffee shop. We want this. It's an attraction. And it's a distraction, in my opinion. We're competing for people. If I've got to compete for you to listen to the Word of God, you're a violent person. I'll explain that here in a minute. You are the violent one. When Jesus was saying that, when he said, for all these years, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violent, and the violent have taken it by force. The word violent actually means people who commit actions without thought. They don't think. It's the same words in back in Ezekiel, which we'll read here in a second. And Ezekiel 28 and I think verse 16, he's actually, go ahead and bring that up on the overhead, would you, Carsey? By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence from within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you out as a profane thing out of the mountain of God and I destroyed you, O covering cherub. We read this a couple weeks ago. This is about Lucifer. Okay? Lucifer was a glorious being. But he began doing a lot of trading. What were they doing in the temple? Trading. What are we doing today with all these messages that have absolutely nothing to really to do with God? We are trading. We're absorbing these. Oh, and that's such a... Can anybody tell me what you learned from the prayer of Jabez? A few of you might remember it. But it was all the rage. I understand. But here's what Jabez boiled it down to. Lord, bless me because I was abused and neglected. Isn't that everybody's life? At one point, we've all been abused and neglected. But we jumped on it. We had daily devotionals. We had video devotionals. We had this. We had that. And it became a phenomenon. Every church was teaching the prayer of Jabez. That's not how Jesus taught us to pray at all, is it? Go to Matthew. Read that. You know, not today. That is where you will learn how to pray. Not, Lord, bless me because my mom didn't really want me. My mom named me this. She thought I was worthless. Expand my board. And God did. Different time. He didn't have faith. He didn't know God. We are a different thing. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. At this time when Jesus is cleansing the temple, where did the Holy Spirit reside? In that temple. The Holy Spirit did not dwell in man. When Jesus said, "It is finished," and when he was on the cross, the Bible says the sky grew black, the earth shook and cracked, and the 6-inch solid cloth veil in the temple was torn, separating the Holy of Holies from the rest of the world. It was ripped from top to bottom. Do you know how hard that would be to rip? We got little toe straps that you can pull semis with. Just add a little polyester strands. They'll lift 25,000 pounds. We don't think twice to grab them. This thing was this thick. And the power of God ripped that thing from top to bottom and the Holy Spirit was released. And that's what we read in the second chapter of Acts, is when the Holy Spirit came down and filled mankind into his new temple. His new temple would now be mobile. But we have to watch the trading. What we're experiencing. Lucifer was a covering cherub, but he traded things. And by the violence, same thing. Action without thought of what's going to happen. That's why the Bible does say that by the counsel of two or three, war is made. Stop and think about this. What's it going to cost us? How are we going to do this? You got to have counsel. If you just jump off and say, "Well, I'm going to blow you up," that doesn't work. And know this, folks. You can't just send a nuke without counsel. It's not just one person. if I remember correctly, there are two keys and they are not in the same building. And it takes an act of Congress to start this kind of stuff. So don't worry about it. Don't get caught up in the fear-mongering. But what we got to watch is the stuff we're exchanging for the truth. Okay, it may be great, but here's what we taught people. Pray to God because you were abused that He blesses you. No, that's not how He taught us to pray at all. He said, trust me. Bless those who curse you. Is that blessing somebody? No. There's things we're told to pray for. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, bless the food I'm going to eat today. Lord, lead me and guide me in the paths of truth and righteousness. There's a few other things I could jump on here and just start telling you about blab it and grab it faith. Name it and claim it. There is a point of that. It's trust and faith. But here's the problem. We get our lives so caught up in, Lord, I called forth a Mercedes-Benz. Where's my Mercedes? God says you're not taking care of the Yugo I gave you. Why would I give you a Mercedes? Lord, I want a girlfriend. That was mine. Boy, I knew every step of those woods. I knew every mark in those woods. I'd walk around 100-acre woods. Lord, I want a girlfriend. I want a girlfriend. That's what I was taught. Problem is, I was praying for the wrong thing because I didn't know the word. I didn't know what God had showed in the examples. Before God gave Adam a woman, what did He give him? A job to take care of her. How about we get the horse back in front of the cart? The horse don't belong on the cart. See, we've filled our lives. Oh, this sounds so great. I can just name it and claim it. No, I can't just name it and claim it. I have got to learn what it means to trust. We set people up when we say, oh, hey, you know, you accept Jesus Christ. Nothing will ever go bad in your life again. You laugh. It doesn't stop it, does it? No. Why? We're in a sin-filled, fallen world. We are affected by that to a degree. I don't live in fear for my children. Not at all. I don't think about it. And even when they carried him off the field on a stretcher. It's one of the hardest things I ever had to do. I'd have gone through boot camp 10 times over. Or he'll show you the scars. Him and Jesse or Justin were comparing scars the other day. Justin's like, yeah, look at this. This stick got me. We were loading firewood. This stick got me out here. He's got a scratch on his love handle there. And Jesse said, see that? Tubes, man, tubes. We go through them. You know what? It happened. And, you know, and I know there's things we're taught. Well, this is why it happened. You've had loved ones die. I know that. Why did they die? I don't know. But I'm not going to sit there and say it was because it was a lack of faith. I don't know. And for me to say the other is being judgmental. I've passed judgment. It just happens. I don't know why things happen. I don't know why we had to go through that. I don't know why. I know, do know this, though. I will trust God, and when I get there, I will see why. I will see why things happen. Because I can promise you this much, folks. What I endured, what we endured with watching Jesse as a newborn. By the way, if Hillary had gotten in office, she wanted to abort babies up to the point where he was. And he made it. I've got two cousins. Both of their babies were born at 23 weeks. They were this stinking big. They were tiny. They couldn't touch them for months. Both of those little girls are up, walking, living, and no problems. Yeah. Oh, but we don't know. We don't trust. We don't trust this man. My hope and trust isn't in Trump. It's always been in God. And I'm going to tell you this. God has showed me the last three times who was going to be president. I just didn't go out and write a book about it. Because everybody thought I was crazy anyhow. I went to bed that night. You can ask her. I made her go to bed. She had fallen asleep. I said, go to bed. And I turned the TV off. I said, he's going to be the president. And it was a tight race. Everybody thought she could win it. No. My trust is in God and I know what he showed me. I'm going to go to bed. I'm not losing any. And I know there's some of you stayed up. That I couldn't. My brain was starting to do weird things. I was starting to act like my dog when he's in a submissive mode. He starts twisting his head around and peeing on himself. And I was like, oh, this isn't happening. I'm going to go to get in my bed. But we have gotten, we started exchanging the truth for lies. Well, here's 10 steps to walking in faith. There's only one you need to know. Trust. Trust God. Ask him at every interval, God, what do I do? When you're at an impasse, God, what do I do here? You know, we're all worried about what we're going to say. I've told you before, God has taken me from a point where I wrote out every word, every comma. I never wrote anything like this in school. I can promise you that. If I had a book report, I made sure the word and was in there as many times as I could get it. And I wrote out every word for a while. And then a little bit later, God started weaning me off of it. And then, like I said, now to the point where I'm on a post-it note. Why? It's not because I'm so stinking smart. I can promise you I am not. It's just because I've learned to trust God that he will put the words when I need them. I'm not this great man of courage and leading people forward. I'm just the one who's dumb enough to jump over the wall and say, he said go. Let's go. The last time I jumped over something trying to lead men, they threw the dodgeball and hit me in the face. And it was over a tennis net. We were playing, we called it war ball. We were playing war ball in a tennis court. And if we could get over the net, we could take to the line. I don't know what line it is. You'll have to ask Carsey. I know nothing about tennis other than the rackets work good for swinging at bats. The flying type. They have a hard time deciphering all the little netting. And I jumped over it. I said, all right, guys, we've got enough dodgeballs. If we get over there and enough of us get over, we can take it and hold it. All right, yeah. They blew the whistle. I ran and jumped. I didn't have a ball to defend myself with. And I got pelted. And one of them laid me right in the face. And you know what my captain said? I admire the pluck it took to do that. Because I was the only one who did it. I turned around, looked at it, I said, you bunch of cowards, as I walked to the sideline, because I hate to lose. I think a few of them I might have took on a run later, the ones I outranked. No. But see, we have got to watch what we're taking in. Well, I got 10 different preachers on here, and I listen to them, and it's like, listen, if their only point in preaching is to sell you a book or tape series, just turn it off. It may be somewhat good, but even a chocolate chip cookie with one chip made out of dog poop is nasty. Right? Y'all have heard that analogy before. I think about ruined chocolate chip cookies for a few of you. I always take a good sniff of them. Anytime anybody makes a chocolate chip cookie here and gives it to me, I check. Well, I'm just saying. That's where it's at right now. Yeah, I would. But God wants us to pay attention to this temple right here. The thing we can control. The Bible says that if we will judge ourselves, we will not be judged. See, I don't need to spend my time judging you. I need to look in the mirror and judge me. And I've spent time looking in the mirror and judging me and looking back and thinking. And I've come to the conclusion that even when I said I knew Christ, I was a bigot. I was a racist. And I mean a real one. I had no problem calling people of color of names to their face. Many of them I ran. Thank God I could run. Because I would have got beat up. I had no problem doing it. Do you understand? I had no problem hating homosexuals because they were gay. Nowhere in my Bible does it say that it's okay for me to hate somebody of a different color. To hate somebody because they're gay. Nowhere. And I've had to judge myself. And I realized I was a piece of trash. Parading around as a religious zealot. And I don't want that anymore. I don't want that for anybody. People think it's funny to drop the N-word. Tell it in a joke. You know what? Keep your joke. You're not funny. You're a bigot. I told my boys the other day, I said, I had no problem using those words. And I don't tell you because, hey, look at our pastor. You know, he was... No, I was a jerk. One black kid in our entire school, and I was a jerk to him. Don't even have the opportunity, can't have the opportunity to tell him I was sorry because he was killed a year after graduation. Yep. He was in SEAL training, going to be a SEAL. And I was your stupid little redneck who thought it was funny to call him names. Now, no. I've got black brothers and sisters I'll trust with my life before some of my physical white brothers and sisters. Because I know their level. Because they took the same oath I did. You see, this is the kind of garbage that's not addressed in the church. We like to sit here and say, well, let's talk about faith. Let's bless me, Lord. Hey, come on, can I get a blessing? No, we love those messages. And if anybody watched the CMAs the other night, you see how easy it is to get people riled up with a song that sounds holy, didn't you? Anybody else see the CMAs besides me? If you saw them, raise your hand. Not okay. And the only reason you guys saw it is because I kept showing it. That's my church. Anybody listen to country? She performed that song. I got to tell you, that is one of the most hypocritical songs on the planet next to You Are Holy. Because everybody got in there. They had the choir. They were all rocking and rolling just like the old time Southern churches used to. And still some of them do. It's an emotional thing. It's not faith. When we come together before God, it shouldn't be an act. But that's all it is. I've been in those churches. It's an act. And Jesus is saying, get over this garbage. Quit pretending to be holy. Be holy. Separate yourselves. Clean yourself out, is what he's saying. Get rid of all the garbage. You know what comes along with sheep and with oxen and doves, don't you? The waste. You got to deal with the waste. Not only do you have the smell of the animal, you got to clean up the waste. You've got to clean yourself. Jesus beat these people. Everybody always draws pictures of Jesus being a wimpy little dude. First off, he was a carpenter. And it is today now believed, because they didn't have a whole lot of trees. with all the wars and how many times they had to rebuild their villages, they didn't have a lot of trees. And I can tell you right now, go over there and you will, Ukraine, in the region where Russia has taken the Crimea region, there are not many trees. Your average tree is about the size of a volleyball. That's a big tree. You know, over here, we go in the woods, we might find a tree that you can't, three people can't put their arms around. They don't have that because they've cut the trees down to rebuild their houses. And so Jesus was not this puny little dude. They carved out rocks. They built with rocks. They had their hammers and their chisels, and they chipped out rocks. Jesus was a pretty formidable dude when he walked into that temple. And I think that's why they sent an armed garrison to get him that night. They knew what he had done. He walks in and he's turning over marble slab tables. Just dumps them over, kicks them over, and he's beating these men single-handedly. That's pretty cool. That's telling me Jesus was not a weenie. Tells me Jesus was meek, because he could have done a lot more. And when they put him on the cross, he could have done a lot more. I don't think he'd have had a problem whooping the entire garrison that came after him without the aid of Peter's sword that Peter didn't know how to use. But Jesus took the beatings. Do you understand? When he was beating those money changers, those crooks and those thieves, and that's what these messages and things that we take in do. They steal from us. They rob from us. When we're not practicing forgiveness, we're told, well, you know, you could, there's a little bit. This has come out of churches. You can have a little bit of unforgiveness. You don't have to forgive them. You have to forgive everybody. There are no exceptions. By the way, the one time Jesus went out and he whooped them guys, I think it's the second time, he went out and whooped them. He turned around and went and healed people who were lame and were blind. He didn't focus on it. He didn't stay on it. But he was showing us, I believe, that we have got to clean this temple. We are responsible for what goes in and out of it. We are responsible for what we focus on, for what we're preaching, for what we're living. Books are great, don't get me wrong, but nothing beats experience. I would be sorely missed if we had football coaches, or I'd be upset if we had football coaches who'd never played football. How can you tell the kid how to block? Joel will tell you, you can't tell the kid unless you've been there. And that was such a problem that we had from Vietnam up until this, really this last Operation Iraqi Freedom and Enduring Freedom. We really had no combat experience. We had generals who didn't know what combat was. Thank God that we had a few guys who were still around who knew what it was and what it was going to be like. Because that's the kind of leaders you need. By the way, I can't tell you how excited I am at the prospect of our new Secretary of Defense. I'm excited. Not just because, well, yeah, he's a Marine. I ain't going to lie. I'm excited because he's the one I've told you about who went into Afghanistan and said, I'm pleading with you. If you do not, if you fight us, we will kill you. Please lay down your weapons. That's the man. By the way, he's not exactly known for clean language either, so just he's a Marine. Unsaved Marines, they taught the Navy how to cuss. Just saying. That'd be a no. She's going to be in jail. Okay. I made no bones about who I voted for. I just can't tell you how funny that, though, was. Yeah, because if I was president, you'd be in jail. But, see, we have to quit listening to what the world says. I'm sorry, but when preachers and people start using fear, they're controlling you. Trust God. I told you to vote for who you believed in. I don't care if you didn't vote the same way I did. I would be ticked if you didn't vote. Do you understand me? That is why I served. That is why these guys served, to give other people the right and to protect our right to vote. Not so you can sit back and say, well, I ain't voting. You gotta vote. But there were churches, we're not voting. Two groups rose up and changed this. One of them was evangelicals, who also comprise a lot of country folks. The other one was veterans. They rose up and they changed the vote. That's why we served. We don't serve in the body of Christ for personal gain. We do it for somebody else. That's our whole point. But people will tell you, if you've been through the membership class, my number one thing is I want you to serve in some capacity. Do something outside of yourself for somebody else. Because if all we ever do is absorb, we become fat, fat little babies. We become a part of the generation that is the problem today. They only want to be served. They don't understand that the greatness is in being the servant, not the other way around. So we have got to clean our own temple. We have got to process everything out. Jesus said it's not what goes in your body that defiles you, it's what comes out of your body. Your body is built as a filter. Everything in your body will filter. You got these little, we talked about this in men's group one time, these little hairs that grow in your nose. They're filters. They catch stuff. Even the mucous membrane is put there to catch particles that could cause you problems. Your kidneys filter. Everything is built to filter. Well, I think it was just because of what Jesus had said. That your body, it's not what goes in, it's what comes out that defiles you. You're going to be around. You cannot get away from being around people who use foul language. I was raised in a couple churches that, oh, they want to just keep you away from any of all that. Please. Once you get out in the real world, you wake up to something else. And you know what I've found for the most part? People who keep their kids totally away from it and shelter their children go a little nuts. I've got several really good examples to show you. Family I know, they tried to raise their kids, tried to keep their girls away from all this influence, and then when the girls got out, they went haywire. Instead of saying, you know what, I trust you. Because see, what they said was, I don't trust you. And by the way, I'm one of those who went haywire. I proved the point there. Because people didn't trust me. I tell my boys, I trust you. I told them, I trust you to make the right decisions. I know you're going to be around people who are doing things. Joshua told me some parties, he went over to some friends and what started coming out. He got in his truck and he left and never went back. Oh, but Pastor, you should have been right there. Just no, I trusted my son. He had a decision to make because he knew what would happen
if I found out he made the wrong decision. He was going to get the right foot of fellowship. But you see, that's another wrong message that people are holding on to. I got to protect my children. You've got to raise your children. They got to know there's a mean, nasty world out there, but that they can overcome it. They can rise up. Kind of the problem with the generation that's being raised right now on video games. Oh, they can kick butt on a video game. Oh, boo-hoo-hoo, somebody said something I don't like. I need my pacifier. I know there's none of you in here. That's why I'm saying it. But it's pathetic. It really is the truth. You said something, and it hurt my feelings. Oh, for crying out loud. These are garbage that we have. This is garbage we have in the body of Christ. If you just got mad at me today, that kind of proves my point. We cannot keep this kind of garbage in the temple. Jesus didn't pull any punches. Why should I pull punches? The reason why the churches pull punches is because they got to pay for that big old cappuccino machine they just bought. They got to pay for the pizza oven they put in. They got to pay for this restaurant they just put in the other end of the church. They've got to pay for stuff that has absolutely nothing to do with making you a better Christian. Does it? You want a pizza? I can recommend Purple Indian. Anybody in disagreement? Oh, you don't count now, Cindy. Yeah, we've got three or four different pizza joints. If you don't like PI, go get one. If you don't like I said, my turning has gone back. I can handle pizza again. It only took 25 years. And she still has to toe the line. I can't have pizza more than once a week. But that's up from once a month. But folks, if we will take the time to judge ourselves, look inward and say, God, why am I afraid of this? You know, I had an opportunity a few weeks back to talk to somebody. And I got the guy's gay. Full on, out in the open. I joined the parade gay, okay? And I walked in the room and saw the person with his boyfriend. I can promise you, loving him was not on the top list of my priorities. And I walked in there and, you know, boy, I could feel that religious devil just rising up, making me roll my shoulders back, stick my chest out. And then somewhere along the line, God said, who do you think you are? I love him. And if the only image of Christ he ever sees is somebody who says, I'm better than you. How is he going to win? How is he going to come back? Because they will set it in stone that they aren't coming back. I lowered my defenses and actually took the time and acknowledged him. And I've got my foot in the door instead of him shutting the door and locking it. He now has opportunity, and I can pray for him instead of praying about him. See, if we focus on the right thing, put our energies to the right enemies, battle the right enemy. And that's what I love about General Mattis being sec def. He knows how to fight. And he knows there's no point in messing around trying to get... He's a Marine, and he understands one thing. We can keep doing all this maneuvering, going around trying to find all this when we know the problem's right in the heart of the city. Let's blow the hole through the city and get him. Let's go deal with the problem. We don't want to do that in the church. We want to just try to figure out how we can maneuver and still maintain our spot in the church. Listen, ain't none of us got a spot in the church. If you think you're all that, you need to check yourself at the door. Ain't none of us that. We all came out of the same cesspool. When Jesus Christ pulled us up, he cleaned us up. He said, here, I'm going to scrape all the ox dung off of you, all the sheep dung. Now you got to get rid of the stuff that's lingering around. Change your mind. You got to do that. I realized the other day there are some things I have to deal with. When I turn them over to God and say, God, you got to take it. It's all yours. God's been dealing with me. There's things you got to deal with. Because you like them. There's the problem. When we like it, we have to deal with it. We can be like Lucifer and sit there and say, hey, you know, just keep bringing all your trading in. Then we get filled up and we make actions without thought of why we're doing them. That's what's hilarious about a lot of these protesters right now. They have no idea why they're protesting. Oh, and they didn't vote. But they have no idea why. They're just doing it to be doing it. That's a generation we have got right now. Because I'm going to just throw it right back to my generation because my generation raised them. But it just keeps going back. How about we just put the brakes on the whole thing and we all stand up and say, this isn't right. Let's make right right again. I think we're getting on a better path. I think we're on a path that God can work. That's what I'm excited about. The Bible says the heart of the king is in his hand and he can turn it. When there's no heart, you can't turn it. And I think if you've got the heart that you can kill a baby, you don't have a heart that God can turn. I think if you've at least got a heart that says this is wrong, we got hope. And that's the same thing here in the church, folks. If we got hearts where our focus is on building big buildings in the name of this ministry, we missed the point. How about we build people? You know, I'm excited about those boxes over there. Those are building children. They're going to go to places we can't go. That should be exciting. And I'm amazed at how many churches don't participate. We have a first grade class in Cardington that puts more boxes together than most of the churches in the county. A first grade class. My hat's off to the Cardington first grade. 106 boxes? Something like that? 106. Our heart should break when we see the truth of what's going on in the world. We rejoice at, our stock market's up. Yoo-hoo! Whoop-dee-ding-dong. It's all inflated anyhow. Our trust is not in God if our trust is in the stock market or the price of oil or the price of this and that. That's right. It is here today and it's gone tomorrow. Like I said, and the devil's been working it so we get away from gold. Now we're up to paper. And now we're working on this magical thing called debit cards. Plastic. No money exchanges hands anymore. If you're on direct deposit, you have to trust they're putting your money in your... Boy, when I was in the Marine Corps, I was like, okay, this is a cool thing. No matter where I'm at in the world, my money's in the bank account. My card works at all the bases. Then it kind of dawned on me one day, I miss seeing the cash. How do I know for sure you're putting that money in there? What if you just suddenly decide that night, oh, no, we don't have enough money. Hit stop. Well, I can tell you right now, our trust had better be in God, not in our bank accounts. If we're trusting in all that stuff, if we're building up for fear, don't operate in fear. Operate in love. Operate solely in love. Don't worry about the fear. The fear comes up naturally, doesn't it? It comes naturally. Oh man, we don't know about this. We don't know about that. I can't tell you about tomorrow. I got to pick up a truck. They tell me he's going to be there, but nobody took my name. I may have to get the right foot of fellowship out. But I'm going to trust God in it. Because after looking at that pile of boxes in here, I may need actually the bigger truck up, which I know as of yesterday they had one. So, trust God. We just trust God in all things. Amen? All right, let's stand. You can listen to what the world has to say, or you can listen to what God has to say. If you will talk to God, if you will spend time and being real with God. Folks, if I can get you away from canned prayers, that's what I want. I don't want you sitting down and blessing your food saying, God is good, God is great. I did that in kindergarten and first grade. By the way, I prayed in school. The teachers led it. Even though at that point it was supposed to be illegal. My teachers at Northmore still did it. They still sat us down and we prayed for our food. It was a great little prayer. You're an adult now. And you don't have to come up with some eloquent prayer. Lord, I thank you. I am truly grateful for the food I'm about to eat. When you sit down and you pray, don't spend all your time trying to bless this, bless that, and the other. If you've got a problem, say, God, I don't understand this. I don't understand what Pastor is talking about, Lord. Trust me, he'll give you the revelation. Before you get mad at me, ask God for a revelation. Especially before you go out in the parking lot and pick up your rocks. One of these days we will get that paved so getting stoned when I come out is not an issue. Talk to God as if he's your best friend. I don't sit back with my best friends and say, hey, you are this, you are that. You know, I tell God, you know, Lord, I am truly grateful. You are awesome. Tell God he's awesome. Tell God I'm having a problem with this. I told God that 2 weeks ago. I said, Lord, I am mad and I don't understand this by any means, but I am mad. And I was to a point I was about to sever a relationship very badly. And God, I don't even know what took place. It just lifted. I just talked to my wife. My physical best friend here on the earth. One who usually talks me down off of the roof before I do something stupid. And it just lifted. Ask God for the same thing. And the only time I prayed was not in my prayer closet in a prostrate position. Yeah, that wouldn't be a good position. I was walking across my porch and into my back door and I said, God, I don't understand this and I'm really angry right now. I said, I need some help. And I was trying to call my wife, trying to call her, and she was in here working, and her phone was in there. I'm like, I need you now. And then when she called back, took a little bit, but I was able to dump all the garbage I was carrying, and God just lifted that right off and said, don't worry about it. Do the same thing. Trust me. He'll answer. He'll move on you. By the way, when are you moving down? You're here. Now I got. Have you shared this with anybody? Can I share a little bit what I know? She lived in Michigan, about 4 hours north of Ohio. Okay. Somewhere, she lived way up in Michigan, where it's really cold. And she's been wanting to come down here and come to church here. She loves you guys. I know why. But she had to have a job. And so she was, she'd just been coming down here to come to church for a little bit. And then she said, God, I can't keep this up. I need a job. God brought a job interview her way. She got the job. And she is moved in down here. She's staying with at Hotel Susan over there for right now. But I want to show you folks, that's trusting God. When you want to move for the right reasons, when you want to do something for the right reason. Rob and Katie, they tried to sell their house. They were going to go to Pennsylvania. Then Rob, they finally said, okay, God, we'll go to Ohio. Their house sold that week. Sometimes we're in our way. It's about trusting God. It's about stepping out. He'll bless us. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and we praise you, Lord, for your many wonderful things that you have done in our lives. Father, when it comes to just trusting you, Lord, I pray now that you help each and every one of us look inwardly and examine our lives and judge ourselves, Father, and the courage to make those adjustments that we need. Father, I know that there are things that you work with and you just gradually take them out. And Father, there are times when we just need that revelation. And Father, I pray for each of those who are struggling right now and they need that revelation. Father, I pray that you give them that moment of revelation, that they may clean their temple that you have already been bruised and beaten for. Father, let us let go of unhelpful teachings. Father, anything that would easily beset us, such as self-seeking, Lord, that these things that we hold on to that do not help anybody else, but were only engineered to keep us away from the truth that is you. And Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord God, I bless them. I bless their week, Father God, as short as it may be. And Lord, help us to remember what giving thanks really is about. And Lord, that if we may not be with those that we love, Father God, that we love those that we are with. And that we remember that some of your greatest times of fellowship were with 12 men who just knew you, who you sought out, and you had relationship with. I bless them, Father, and I thank you for them in Jesus' name. Amen.